Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for listening to What Mama Wants. I think Mother Earth wants far less toxics and more health for her planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role toxics like mercury, PFAS, pesticides are playing in our daily lives. My guest today is Madison Madden. She's an Ayurvedic practitioner who has had a profound personal experience with toxic pesticide exposure, but later found her way to personal and professional experiences using traditional Ayurvedic medicine to remove toxics from her body and to restore her health. Madison Madden is the author of Mind Body Food. She's an expert yoga and somatic practitioner, and she lives in Colorado, where she's a consultant at LiveWise. Madison, thank you so much for joining me today on What Mama Wants.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
I think we have to start with Ayurvedic medicine. Can you start by explaining what that is exactly and tell us how you found your way to it?
Sure, absolutely. Ayurveda is a traditional and holistic system of medicine rooted in ancient India. It's actually the oldest form of medicine practiced in the world today that's been continually practiced. So it was written down 5,000 years ago. It's been practiced for probably more like 10 to 15,000 years. They were doing brain surgery 5,000 plus years ago. It's a very sophisticated, complex system of medicine that uses dietary, herbal, detoxification methods in a very holistic manner to address the mind, the body, soul, and our human relationship to the environment.
I love that. People had really different concepts of physical bodies at that time all over the world. And here people were doing brain surgery 5,000 years ago.
Amazing, isn't that?
I know. I know in Persia, they were doing cataracts 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's an incredible amount of intelligence for us to learn from in Ayurvedic medicine, you know, along with many other traditional forms of medicine. But the continual practice nature of Ayurveda makes it a very relevant system for us today. It's as relevant today as it was 5,000 years ago.
Same bodies.
Exactly. Same body, same earth.
And your personal story is quite remarkable to me. Will you tell us about your serious pesticide exposure as a toddler?
Yeah, you know, the story goes that I was playing in a park that had been just recently sprayed with pesticides. And thereafter, very quickly, I developed a severe respiratory condition that was a bit of a mystery to understand and solve at the time. And so I was given high doses of steroids and, you know, eventually antibiotics and mixture of the two. And as a young person, of course, now we understand the impact of that to the gut and to the immune system and to the microbiome. Whereas, you know, 30 some years ago, we didn't have that same knowledge. So that seemed to stimulate a whole cascade of conditions that were seemingly unrelated for my whole childhood and early adolescence, where I was sick all the time. I was on antibiotics probably somewhere between 8 and 10 times a year. I had all sorts of chronic, like I said, seemingly unrelated health conditions. By the time I was in high school, I was taking 9 different pharmaceutical medications. I was on this hamster wheel of medication where one thing would lead to another, a symptom that would then lead to another pharmaceutical medication, which would have a side effect that would lead to another pharmaceutical medication. And to be totally honest, I felt like I was dying. By 19, I was in college and I was working with the disability service at college because I had chronic neurological pain down my arms and couldn't write papers. I had severe digestive issues. I had high cholesterol by the time I was in second grade. I had kidney issues and all sorts of, you know, all of my systems in my body were affected. So it was this kind of cascade of conditions that happened over the course of a couple of decades. And I kept getting sent from doctor to doctor, from specialist to specialist. Nobody really knew what was going on and
Can
would
I
treat.
ask you, did they know when you were a kid that you were sick originally from the pesticide exposure, or did they figure that out post facto?
It was said, but I don't know if it was understood nor necessarily believed that that was what was, that was the onset of it. And I did see at some point, I did see a naturopathic doctor that did some, dietary and detox related things. And that was really the only time that I had gotten better through the course of my childhood for a period of time. But it wasn't until I was in my early 20s and I found my way to yoga and eventually to Ayurveda, where I started to practice and release and work on my mind and my nervous system. And eventually, Ayurveda, I was able to address the deeper seated systems and organs and toxins in my body. And over the course of about 4 years doing intensive yoga and Ayurveda, I was able to reverse everything that was going on in my body. So I went from literally feeling like I was dying. I used to tell people in college that I was never going to have children. I was not going to make it to be 30, that my system was slowly deteriorating to being someone that people look at today, like, wow, you're so vital, you're so healthy, and I hardly ever get sick and I don't have any chronic pain and I don't have any chronic conditions. And it was such a beautiful and empowering experience to understand and to go through that I decided to devote my life to helping people do the same thing because I realized how at the time I felt that I was the only person in the world going through something like this. And my story is unique, but it's not that unique. I realized that almost everybody I know is going through some sort of chronic condition or the development of a kind of mysterious experience with their health, some sort of traumatic experience as a young person, and some sort of disordered eating. I think 99% of people that I know have some disordered relationship with food. And the way that I say it in my book is I think we have a cultural eating disorder, and that food literally becomes our body. It becomes our organs. It becomes our hair. It becomes our skin. And if we have an unhealthy, toxic relationship with food, then that has consequences in all parts of our life. It's because
And
of
how can we not when there are all kinds of things in the food that aren't food, and then the food is put on things like polystyrene, which is not food, and we eat a credit card worth of plastic each a week? I bet our bodies are a little confused by this new input.
Right. It's a part of our diets that we rarely consider is the amount of plastic that we eat, right? You say, all right, what's your diet? And somebody goes through, well, I eat this much meat and this much vegetables and this much rice. And like, well, do you know how much plastic you eat?
Yeah, as you said in your book, Mind Body Food, which was fabulous and actually detailed some of your story as well as general health kinds of things, you said gut health is a prerequisite to a strong digestion. And, it's also where the bulk of our neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine are created. What happens when your gut gets messed up by pesticides or antibiotics or steroids? What happens to people? What do you see as a practitioner?
Well, in Ayurveda, we have this concept called Agni, which translates to fire, to your digestive fire. And if you think about it, digestion has this fiery quality to it. We have bile and enzymes and all of these things that go in and digest the food that we, anything that we intake into our body. And so if our digestion is imbalanced, then it's like putting food on a stove without a fire. Or with a fire that's way too hot and burns your food. And so we have, so then what happens is we, if things aren't getting digested, we take them in and anything we take in through our body. So that's food. In Ayurveda, we have this beautiful word called ahara. It's one of my favorite words. And it means everything that you intake. So it translates to diet, but it's not just, you know, we think of diet sometimes as just your carbohydrates and your proteins and your fat. But diet in Ayurveda means everything that you intake. It's your food, it's your liquids, it's your air, and it's your perceptions. And you have to digest everything. Everything has to go through a digestive process. And if it doesn't get taken in, digested, assimilated, and eliminated in a healthy way, then it gets stuck. It gets stored in our tissues.
I think about trauma with that. That's such a beautiful description of ahara, but that's what happens with trauma, right? It goes in and it gets stuck and
It
it
gets
doesn't get
stuck in our
processed.
tissues. Yep. And that's why so often with someone with trauma, things that work the body, not just talking, but things that work the body, going and getting a massage will sometimes be very evocative for someone because it'll bring up the memories and the experiences that are literally stored in our tissues. And it can be one of the most therapeutic things in the world because of it, because it actually moves and gives the, you know, allows that perception that wasn't digested another opportunity to be digested. And now we have the experience of, okay, now I can digest it, I can process it, I can now eliminate it from my system. And it's the same with deep-seated physical toxins. They get stored. If something you eat doesn't get digested, it gets stored in your system as a toxin. So a heavy metal, a pesticide also, if it doesn't get processed by the liver correctly or the kidneys correctly and get eliminated in the system, it gets stuck in our tissues.
I'm so happy we can talk about this because the show is about toxics. And each time I learn about some other terrible thing that we get exposed to that really harms us, but there are very few shows where it's like, how do you get them out? So I'm delighted you're here today. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants, Less Toxics and More Health. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Madison Madden. She's an Ayurvedic practitioner from Colorado, who learned how to heal long after a toxic exposure that set her up for 20 years of digestive health issues, among many other things. And now she helps other people figure out their medical puzzles through an elegant process called Ayurvedic medicine. So Ayurvedic medicine has a long established practice for removing toxins from your stored tissues from your body to balance the whole human experience. Not only is that profoundly beautiful, but I'm interested in learning what kinds of problems you see in your Ayurvedic practice.
Well, to answer that second question, all sorts of things, because this shows up in so many ways, right? Like we were talking about the amount of toxins that we as humans are currently consuming, from the toxins in our food and water to the toxins in the air. I mean, the air inside of our homes is even more toxic than the air outside, and the air outside is almost unlivable in some parts of the world, right? So we are ingesting, if we go back to this concept of ahara, everything that we ingest, we are ingesting a tremendous amount of toxins, all of us. What, no matter how clean our diets are and how much we sweat and how, you know, good our digestion is. So in Ayurveda, we have a few different ways of dealing with that. And I see all sorts of expressions of it. We have a treatment or a protocol called Panchakarma. Panchakarma translates, it sounds, you know, sounds new. If you've never heard that word before, pancha means five in Sanskrit language, and karma means actions. So it just means five actions. And there are five actions of elimination that Ayurveda uses for the purgation of toxins. And so that's through the bowels, that's through the sweat, that's through the nasal cavity, that's through the skin, through bloodletting, and that's through something called vamana, which is therapeutic vomiting. And through the eyes. The eyes are another orifice. Any orifice of the body where we take sensory information in can also be an orifice in which we allow toxins out.
There was a study out of, I think, New Zealand, where a bunch of firefighters were exposed to a lot of PFAS. And when they did some testing, there was one guy whose levels were not high, and he was there for all of the same things. And what they found is he had been donating blood regularly, so his buildup had not been the same.
In many different medicine practices around the world, the release of blood is a very important and effective mechanism for healing several different types of conditions. And while the traditional method of bloodletting in Ayurveda, which was done with leeches, is not part of a scope of practice in the United States, there are different mechanisms of releasing blood, such as donating blood. And that can actually be a very therapeutic thing. Not only are you giving something that is necessary for someone else's life, but it actually can be a therapeutic method for your own body. That sounds all very intense. Panchakarma is this amazing therapy where Ayurveda has for thousands of years understood the direct correlation between our nervous system and our ability to detoxify, which we are now understanding through modern medicine more and more every day, this connection between the mind and the body, where we used to see them as separate entities. And now we are seeing every day a little bit closer to, oh, they're actually so inextricably connected, we almost can't even separate them. And so in Ayurveda, that's a foundational understanding of the medicine, knowing that the mind is just one aspect of the body. And in order to release deep-seated toxins, the body has to be in a relaxed state. The nervous system has to be in a relaxed state. So while all of these things that I just stated of, you know, purgation through all these orifices sounds very intense, the experience of Panchakarma is actually incredibly nourishing and relaxing. You go through this process of kind of preparation at home, and then you go in and you receive these beautiful four-handed oil massages and steam therapies and relaxation techniques and yoga and meditation and breathing. And that prepares the system for detoxification and loosens the deep-seated toxins through therapies and sweating, releases the deep-seated toxins, moves them into the gastrointestinal tract to be then prepared to release through one of these detoxification methods. And then the body is then restored afterwards. Instead of being left in this extremely depleted state after you go through a detox, because, you know, there's all sorts of different methods of detox, but oftentimes I find that people go through detoxes, they'll go through the master cleanse, or they'll go through, you know, a raw food diet, or they'll do some sort of, you know, metal cleanse, and then they'll get sick afterwards because the system's depleted. And so it's just as important to go through the rejuvenation of the body thereafter a deep cleanse. And so you go through this sizable rejuvenation process afterwards. And Panchakarma is, I have never found anything else like it in any system of medicine. It's one of the things that I respect most about Ayurvedic medicine. And so that's one wonderful way of removing toxins of the physical nature and of the energetic, psychological nature.
I watched a number of YouTube videos on Panchakarma to get a better sense for what that might really look like. Mm-hmm. And I was really just, I find that so compelling. You know, we have a steady diet of exposures to toxics, and to have an annual or semi-annual experience of letting those go can only be good for us. When I tell people about it, people are like, oh yeah, sign me up for that. People sound like they'd be game. I wonder, as a public health concept, if we could ever get to the place where, like, we change our oil in our car, if we could have kind of a lube station for humans.
That's exactly how I think of Panchakarma.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's for me, I go and receive Panchakarma yearly. It's a ritual of health that I participate in for my own ongoing maintenance, essentially, for every system of my body. Now, I will say that holistic medicine is different than the way that most of us interact with allopathic medicine. And it's important to state this because it's the only way it works, is it requires the participation, the active participation of ourselves in taking responsibility for our own health. So I would never recommend that somebody just live their normal life and then come and think that doing a yearly Panchakarma is going to fix them.
Just like in mind body, it's also you've got to engage your actions with your
It's
detox
going to be
protocol.
very relaxing. It's going to be probably pretty intense. You'll feel the effects of it for a period of time. It'll be wonderful. It'll serve you. But health is, and this is something that I learned very intensely through my healing process, is that I had to stop going to someone and looking for a magic pill. It doesn't exist. I had to learn that it's up to me to create a lifestyle, to create relationships, to create an environment, to create a diet, to create a health team around me that was truly healing and truly served me. It was my responsibility. And so to me, the health crisis that we are facing right now in the world is a supply and demand issue. We like to oftentimes blame it on the system. Oh, our medical system is so expensive and it's so inefficient, and it's one of the most ineffective and inefficient systems in the industrialized world, and da 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 da, right? We like to do that. But the truth is that we have a population of humans that are also looking to, like, okay, solve my issue for me, right? What's the magic pill here? And so the reason I'm bringing that up is because I wholeheartedly believe that it's one of the most important parts of what we're talking about today, which is detoxification. We have to say, okay, it's in my hands. So I can go do something like Panchakarma, have this amazing experience, detox my body, restore my mind and my nervous system. And then it's up to me thereafter to uphold the practices that are balancing for me.
And I would say I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we all don't have the ability to protect ourselves from the lead that's coming in the pipes through our water. If we don't know there's mercury in our fish, that kind of thing. So I think it's up to us individually to advocate for healthier systems so that the delivery of those items is all clean for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's an individual and collective effort.
If I were
Absolutely.
looking for an Ayurvedic practitioner, is there a clearinghouse website where I would go?
The National Ayurvedic Medical Association has a index of Ayurvedic practitioners all around the country.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very good. I'm sure people want to know where to find one after hearing you talk about it. What do you think Mother Earth wants regarding our health and well-being?
Well, just like our mind and our body are inextricably linked, we are inextricably linked to our environment. We are made of the same elements. We are part of the environment. It is not separate. And just like we need to treat our bodies in a balanced way and we need to digest everything that comes in, we have to do the same for the environment. And the way I see it, the diseases that we're seeing environmentally mirror what we experience in our bodies, the diseases and pathologies that we experience in our bodies. So, for instance, the amount of waste and the toxic consequences of the amount of waste that we are producing as human beings, to me, it's really very similar to what we were talking about digestion. We take things in, and if we can't digest them and eliminate them, then they get stuck and they get stored as toxins. Plastic polystyrene is very similar. We produce something like that, it never goes away.
Yeah, it's stuck in the whole
It's
biosystem.
stuck in the system. And then we experience the consequences of it because then it gets into our water supply, into our food supply, into the animals that we rely on for various different things. So to me, Mama Earth would want us to see it the same way, you know, honor it and as a temple that we are and that she is.
I love it. We are to mama as a cell of our body is to us.
Absolutely.
To close this interview, I think it would be fun to ask you a few questions about your personal relationship with the earth, if you're game.
Absolutely.
As you were talking, I was thinking of how much your self-concept must have been impacted as an unwell child who didn't feel like you had a future. But I wonder, as a kid, did you have favorite things to do outside?
I loved climbing trees, and I loved particularly the willow trees that would, you know, drape down, and I'd love to create homes and games and theaters within the hug of the willow trees.
Can you describe a scene in nature when you have felt awe?
I had the opportunity when I was in college to travel to the Kingdom of Tonga, which is this island nation in the South Pacific that most people don't know where it is. And I was going to teach therapeutic movement to sexually and physically abused adolescents in the Kingdom of Tonga. And the irony of that is I learned and probably received way more from these people of Tonga than I was able to give them at that time in my life. But they, as a gift for us being there, they took us to this prehistoric island. And I will never forget the view of the Pacific Ocean from this prehistoric island and this band of wild horses running across the cliff with these prehistoric trees that were growing with these enormous spiders that, you know, I would have, there were times in my life just been absolutely terrified by, but I was in awe of. And it was a life-changing experience and moment for me that, you know, being in a culture, in a country, in nature like that, I never went back. From that moment, I came home and I said to myself, I remember saying, I don't have to live the way that I was brought up. There are so many ways to live. And that was a big turning point for me.
Wow. You time traveled. What is one thing that you currently wonder about in nature?
I almost constantly wonder about the medicinal qualities of plants that I don't know of. When I'm weeding in my garden or, you know, I'm on a hike, I constantly wonder, oh, I wonder what the medicinal quality of that is. And in Ayurveda, we have this concept that everything in nature is medicinal if used in the right way. And that also means that everything is toxic if used in the wrong way. But that always makes me wonder all the things that I don't know.
That's really cool. And finally, what's your favorite baby animal?
I will have to say a kitten. And I'm actually allergic to cats, so that's I've never actually had one, but I find baby kittens to be just the most precious, precious little beings in the world.
I think they can heal.
Yeah.
Madison, your challenging exposures to pesticides as a child fueled your drive to learn about and then help others with their relationship to food, their physical and emotional health as well. You've shared your experiences so generously in your book and also here today. I am very grateful to know about Ayurvedic approach to recovery from toxic exposures through Panchakarma. And thank you so much for being my guest today on What Mama Wants.
That was such an honor. Thank you for having me.